Good morning. It's nice to be here. My name is Christian. I am married. We have three children. We've been married 25 years. Special applause for my wife. She's from Colombia. I'm from Indonesia. I've been married to a Colombian for 25 years, so I speak Spanish now. I'm integrated in her culture. I'm from the city Waia, close to Zwolle. We did go to Deventer before, to Aruba, and we were leading a church. We experienced many things. It was a church which was about to stop with 20 people, and God told me to take it over. And we are planting 100 churches in the Netherlands. We are at 53 at the moment, after 6 years. We started different churches. I was wondering how can we do all this? But I speak every other week, so I can also speak in other churches. But there's such a miracle going on. It has nothing to do with good management or marketing or nice tricks. It's a miracle of God. Last Sunday, also 9 people were baptized with a background in New Age. They did never heard of sin and of conversion. And they are learning a lot. They are looking at their telephone all time to understand what's going on, all the ceremonies taking place in the church. And God is blessing it. And I really like it. It's nice to be part of it. A lot of things are going on. We started a church in Enschede. I was walking on the streets and God told me to start a church in this city. And I did not know anyone there. But I met someone I did not know before, and they told me, we want to start a church here, and I helped them. And there are about 50, 60 people gathering. We started in Raalte, in the area of Solland, a farmer's village. There's only Catholic church. And we recently started with a team of 40, 50 people in Raalte. We start in Zwolle Zuid, in Veghel, Brabant. We've started also a church. There was nothing in the area. And many young people. Many young people, they start to believe. But their parents and grandparents, they make fun of them. And they tell the children, why do you not get drunk and have fun with your friends? But they converted and they want to worship Jesus. It's hard work because they start from scratch. They know nothing about the faith. And it's a lot of work to disciple them, but it makes me very happy. We're also working at the border of Brabant and Limburg. There's also a black spot on the map. It's incredible what God is doing. It's the mercy of God. We're building a team also in that region. I want to ask you to pray with us, and if God speaks to you this morning, if you want to contribute, you can come after the sermon at the back. So if you want to contribute, if you want to support, we need to team members. And we need about 53 people to build. We want a plan for every province. Also to mobilize all the existing churches. This is my book, Next Level Discipleship. And you can take it with you if you contribute to our work. So if you want to contribute, you're very welcome. Many teenagers, people in their at their 20 years of their lives, they're very interested in the gospel. Something is going on, and this is the moment. This is the season of harvest. Before New Age or Islam comes, we have to be there to harvest. Amen. We need more Jesus. It's not just about big events, or I want to encourage you this morning that we all together, you cannot be missed in the battle of eternal life. Psalm 81, verses 14. The first word says, "Oh." It's the frustration of the Lord. It says, "Ah," verses 14. "How quickly would I subdue their enemies? If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hands against their foes." It was true for Israel then, and it's true for us now. My people would listen. Because when they would just listen, the demons of secularism, capitalism, Islam, all these demons, LGBTQ activism, Eastern religions, and every threshold, if they would just listen, I would tear them down. If my people would just listen. Habakkuk 2 says, he swore, "For as I live, I will fill all of the earth with my glory, with my Shekinah. Fill this house with my glory." In Hebrew, it means the worthiness. It says kapot. The Hebrew word is kapot, and it means like a weight, a mass. I want to fulfill the earth with my mass, with my presence. Sometimes you feel the mass of a theme or something you're talking about, and it the name of Jesus of God, it like a swore of people use it in vain, but God wants to fill this world with his presence, with the character of God. That's wow. That's the mission of the Lord. I've been in the eternity. Not so many people know me, but I've been in eternity. At my 18th, I grew up in the Pentecost Church, and my mother, my grandmother, they came from the cities. They've seen the miracles, and I knew miracles exist, God exists. And of course, there's a cross. I knew the stories. I grew up with it. And especially for people who have a very difficult life, and people who are in drugs and pedophiles, the real sinners, they need someone who saves them, who pay for their sin. And that I understand that they're grateful, but me, I'm actually quite good. But it's not really that I do something wrong. I did not feel comfortable putting my hands in the air and about mission abroad. And I thought, what are all those people doing? I'm not part of this. My life was filled with football, girls. At my 18th, I went to Indonesia for a family visit for 3 months. And I asked God, if you really exist, show me. And I can only describe the holiness of God. It was a devastating fire. He came as a desert. It was the fire of God. He devastated me. He overwhelmed me with his goodness, his glorious holiness, his purity. And everything that came in his presence, it felt like it caught a fire. Egoism, arrogance, manipulation, everything came to the light. All the things, I knew it was not pure in my heart. Somewhere I knew that, but I did not act like it. And in this presence of the Lord, everything came to the surface, and I understood I'm at the edge of eternity. I feel the purity of God, and everything caught fire in my heart. I did not believe in the hell. It could not be true. The hell would be... I could not believe that it would be true. But my life was not pure. I laughed at people. And I destroyed people with my words. It's not only when you really murder someone you have to come before the throne of God, but also when you say to your brother, he is a fool. You will be for the righteous throne of the Lord. You have to pay for all your own sin. It's not paid by the Lord. The love of God can also be bad news if you are not love yourself. Later, I read in the Bible that the Spirit convinces of sin in your life. And that's what happened to me. But he showed me in a very persuasive way that I needed him. I needed the blood of Jesus Christ because I could not do it myself. That's the gospel of our Lord, that we are grateful that the Lamb hath been slaughtered for us on the cross. I'm so happy, I'm so grateful for Jesus, for something I did here all of my life, I did not understand, but now I understand. Because there's holy fire inside of me, and everybody needs to know. But then I started Luke 16. There was a rich guy who was in hell. Just like rich people, like now, they can do whatever they want. They live in abundance. They have a Bitcoin. They ride in a Tesla. And they look like a good example. Help yourself to be, to live in abundance, to live in all the forecasts that we have. But then he dies. And after 10 seconds, he realizes that he is in hell and he can never get out. Maybe he hoped for a reincarnation for... I will be reincarnated in a different life, but that's not the reality. But he realizes, I will never get out of here. This is for eternity. And he asks, can somebody go to my brothers to warn them for this place of pain? And if it's true what Jesus says, it's not a parallel, it's the reality. And Buddha will be there in hell. And he says, can someone all go to all the people who have been misled and can tell them that the reality is that they will go to hell? Muhammad will be there as well in hell. And he is crying out, can someone go to all the Muslim in the world to tell them that this is reality, that there will be no salvation in my gospel, but only in the gospel of Jesus Christ? So that all the people who denied Jesus are now in hell, crying out for help to warn the people. So I realized everyone needs to know. I survived the typhus, and I understood that I had to tell my friends, and they will tell me I will be a fool. And I did not love the church, but God told me that I would start to love the church. And it took a few years, but God showed me that when I took people to the church and they were disappointed, that's, well, I do not see it in the church. What's wrong? What's wrong inside of my life? And I started to change, not by all the rules, but I started to understand what Jesus for me. And I started to live my gratitude. And God asked me that, well, if you want to live like that, if you want to change from the inside, look different at women, start talking different about money. But I was afraid first. And I started to look at Jesus, and he showed me what he had done. And it was the Holy Spirit inside of me. And I said, okay, I want to be honest. I want to be fair. I do not want to live for myself, but I want to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. It's the holy dopamine inside of me. Amen. And still, I make many mistakes, ask my wife and children. But it continues. But I realize every time when I look at Jesus and I see the heart of God and I see the cross, it overwhelms me. And it helps me to surpass myself. God wants that everyone will be saved. Maybe you have some doubts that you cannot be sure, but God is clear about it. God wants that all the people want to recognize the truth and want to be saved. But how? How is it going to happen? How is he going to do that? And I'm not telling you as someone with the theory which has not been tested, but we have found in the grace of God there was a rebellion in my own heart, but to start to trust the Lord for who he really is. We have seen people converted, thousands of people in Zutphen in the church. People told me not to go to Zutphen because the soil is hard and people will not listen. And we became the pastors there, 27 years old. And it was very felt like we were the enemies in Zutphen. Drug dealers came to complain because the people who used their drugs to buy the drugs, they converted and they stopped using drugs. And they threatened me in my life. And the church was growing. And it was bursting out in the glory of God. And then we went to Aruba. And we see the same thing over there. It's a blessing. It's not because of a cloud that when you start to pray long enough that something will happen. It's not because of the perfect worship and the nice it's not by people, but it's because of the glory of God in all of us. I want to give you a line from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis it says, God made man in his image. And he says that that image that is the glory of God you want to show to the world. And when you do that, then the world becomes heaven. So everywhere you put your footstep, from every culture all over the world, 100% of all the people over the world will be hospitable, will we take care of each other, who are giving, wants to feel you safe and comfortable everywhere. Wherever you come, every desert, jungle, you do not need money, not a ID, you don't need hotels. Everyone is filled with love. Then you do not have to go to heaven. Amen. But that is where people do not have any problems. They are not wounded. There are no traumas. There are physical or psychological problems. Everybody filled with love. That's the plan of the Lord. Maybe you think, what is he saying? Is he gone crazy? No, I tell you, that's the plan of God. We knew everything went wrong. But God is not desperate. His plan is still the same. He's looking for people who want to convert. He was looking for people who wants to follow him. Just like Abraham in Iraq. And he was not perfect. He told to the kings that his wife was his sister. And he made many mistakes. but he trusted the Lord. I will bless all the people because of you. And it's something you see in his children. The Bible is fair about all the mistakes people make, but you see that the glory of God is growing. It becomes more and more. And it started growing. The people of Israel, their number increased, and they first were in Egypt, and then they took off to the promised land. When you come to Exodus 8, God please said to them, please listen to me, do not follow other gods, just follow me. Listen to me, because if you do so, I will place you in the center of the earth. Everything comes together, where Israel is still the middle, the center of the earth. I do not only love you, I love all the people of the world. If you listen to me, first, people will fight you, but hopefully they will understand and learn that you are a blessed people, that you are the people of the Lord. So they will also convert them. It will draw them towards the God of Israel, because they see all the miracles that happen in your midst. That's what happens when you start to listen to me. So your obedience will be a blessing for the whole world. Sometimes Israel listened, sometimes they didn't. It's like the waves of the ocean, up and down. And you see the loyalty of God every time. The glory of God grows over his people. At the highest point, over David and Samuel. And when Solomon was king, all the nations of the world, they came to Jerusalem to receive, to see about the glory of God. And that is a skeptical king of Sheba who did not believe about the wisdom of Solomon. And she came with riddles to test him, to put him to the test, because I do not believe about the extraordinary wisdom of God. And 1 Kings 10 says, and Solomon, he declared all her questions, all her riddles. We have to speak out. Your testimony is necessary. We have to speak out. We conquered the Satan through the blood of the Lamb, but also through the word. That's to be spoken. The devil will tell you to shut up. You cannot tell it in the right way, but the Holy Spirit tells you to speak up. And you do not have to be the apologist of Flevoland, but if people have questions, you can say, well, maybe I do not know the answer, but I will look for the right answer. People need answer. People need the words of Jesus. What does he say about forgiveness, about relations, about money, about the future? They want to know. People need to know before they convert. That's in a healthy, how do you be in a healthy relationship as men and women? But words are not enough. They are necessary, but they are not enough. So after listening to the words, they started to see. And it says then when the Sheba saw all the wisdom, all the prosperity, the food on the table, how his servants were ready. It's the way they handled each other, the way they behaved, the culture. They were friendly, they were smiling, they were taking care of each other, their clothing, the sacrifice, the temple of the Lord, it was everything together. It was visible for her as king of Ethiopia. The word has to become flesh. God can tell you I'm love, but it's not an abstract word. He makes it visible. And a baby was born. The character of God became a baby, became flesh. The glory of God is in Christ Jesus. The glory of God has to get visible. All the different ways, all together, they can convert a sceptical queen. The way we act, the way we, God shows his glory through us people. And she was overwhelmed by what she saw. She was overwhelmed by the glory of God. It was even greater and bigger than what she heard, because she saw with her own eyes. The glory of God. And like we do not have the light of ourselves, but it comes from the sun, it comes on the earth. And we can be a window through which the light shows itself. And when the sun goes down, another light comes up, the moon. And the moon does not have a light of itself. It's reflecting the sun. And we can do one thing very good. We can pass through light which does not come from ourselves. We are like the full moon. We should not be a half moon. Maybe you're put your back to Jesus and you're a half moon. Maybe you do not feel like being a light or reflecting the light, and you're just a very small part of the moon. The glory of God became abundance. It says in Zechariah 8 that when you do what I say, then people will be converted. Many people will be under the impression. They want to take your pants. They want to be at your feet. Because the glory of God is upon your life. And the history of Israel before the coming of Jesus, there were millions of people in Israel. They were sick of their gods, like Wodan. Like Wodan, he was asking 10% of all the people who had to be sacrificed before him. The darkness which is inside of these gods. It's incredible. And the philosophers of Greece, they told, well, we know that it's not, it cannot be true, all the stories of our gods. The people knew it cannot be true. but that the highest point in history, the glory of God, came through a child in Bethlehem, in Jesus Christ. He's the image of God. He walks through the streets of Jerusalem. You can see the way he acts when he meets a widow, the way he talks to the religious people, when he talks to people who resent for their sins, and Jesus shows who is the Father, full of mercy and full of grace. And Jesus goes to the Father after he sacrificed himself. And now he sends us. And now he says, you are the visible glory of God. You are the body. If people want to know who God is, they have to go to the church, because it's a colony of the church, or it's a colony on earth of God. Like the Apostle Paul and Petrus, they were planting churches all over the world. And it was not just preaching the gospel, but Paul and Peter, they made their destiny of it. They started working, they started teaching, they started to write letters. They never gave up. They discipled people. They gave their eternal life until everything is, the glory of God is visible in your lives, so that they put all their effort in it to help people to be a disciple, so that the glory of God will be discipled, that the glory of God in the lives will be visible, the fullness of his glory. So all the commandments of Jesus Christ, they have to become reality in your life, because if you do not so, then you will not be a good representative of Jesus Christ. Through you, the eyes of the unbelievers will be opened. So the apostles were fulfilled with this vision, with this mission. Through the church, the glory of God is on earth. Forget all the lies you hear. The word of Jesus has been the light in the world. The glory of God can be seen in the church. Equalness for everyone that comes through Jesus. So philosophers and socialists, they understand that if we say goodbye to Christianity, we throw away a lot. So we are the glory of God. We are supposed to fulfill the earth. So when people who do not know God and they come in touch with you, they see the way we act, see the way we behave, and they see that we are not self-centered. There was a guy in our church, he was just converted 1 week, and his father passed away. And we could help out with our church. Just 1 week, and he was surprised that the church was helping to bury his father. And the devil wants to tell us, I'll stop acting as the church, focus on yourself again, because what are you doing? It's the soil is hard, there will be no fruits on the work you do. Philippians 4 says that everything you do, do it as if it is for the Lord. In a happy way, do not complain. the people around you, they complain about everything. But you can be different. You can tell about your gratefulness. Maybe you annoy your colleagues by telling that you're grateful. You do not complain about the government, about the weather, about some money, about everything. You can show the glory of God in your life. And people see it in your life. They see the way you talk and walk. And there are many things what God does which you cannot make up yourself. Sometimes you are there when people convert, and sometimes you're not there, but you can see it. Sow the seed anyway. God needs all of us. So what is he not specific for? You do not have to go to church 4 years before you are ready to be used. No. It starts with a simple things, the simple revelations of the New Testament. Yes, it can be very simple. It's easy to understand. It's hard to put in practice. Like Philippians 4. Be fulfilled all the times with happiness. But there are always circumstances that you can complain. Paul was in he was in prison when he wrote that we should be happy in all under all circumstances. So if there was someone who had a reason to complain, it was Paul. And he tells us to be happy. And we have the same Holy Spirit as he has. Be happy in the Lord in all times. You can be honest. Do not have ignored that you're maybe sick or poor. Be honest, but even through your deepest pain, that you want to be rejoiced in the Lord. What happens is that people will stop you on the street. The first time it happened to me, it was in Nijmegen. I was not singing Hallelujah. I did not see Jesus on my shirt. I was just grateful. Thank you. There was a girl coming to me and she said, stop. She asked, what do you have? Why do you look like you found everything in life? Why are you always happy? And it came to my mind, oh, that's Jesus. As he told me, oh, I also wanted to believe. The people who believe, you can see it from their face. They are happy. They are rejoiced in all circumstances. It's not like an act. It comes from inside. There is hope in their lives. By their love, the way they act towards each other. Yeah, sure, like love. Okay, I have it. I'm already full of love. But the definition of love of Jesus is very radical. It does not say that you have to say to be nice to your friends. All the criminals do the same. They are nice to their friends. The love of Jesus, that you invite people in your life who have nothing to offer for you. When they are sick, that you visit them. That's the love of Jesus. There was someone in our church in Zutphen with a brain injury. He was called Uncle Willy. One side he was paralyzed, And I came to him and said, "Oh, sorry, Uncle Willem, I'm very late." And he told me, "No, nobody came to visit me yet, but that's no problem." There's nobody who came to visit him. As he was not happy. And I came to church that Sunday. And I told the church, "Well, where were you? Why did you not visit Uncle Willem?" And I told them that Jesus was in the hospital and the people could visit him. And so I told them that Jesus was in the hospital and they could visit him. And all of those people, they went, not all of them, there were 200 people in the church, almost all of them went to the hospital. All parts of the church, with the worship, the children program, the cajons with the music, with the guitars. And I came to Uncle Willem. And they were touched by what happened. And even the nurses told them, "We've never seen anything like it." All of a sudden they saw the testimony of the church. And so they got a letter from the hospital. "Please tell the church we're very grateful, but please do not visit with more than 2 people at a time, because it's too much. And I understood that we have to help each other. We have to be open towards people. We have to be open to the world. The glory of God becomes visible through us." And I told it that in Aruba, we founded a Dutch-speaking congregations over there. And they thought, "Well, we have someone in hospital." And they're so they just copied what we did in Zutphen, they did in Aruba. And there were people working in construction. From a different country. And they were very impressed by what happened. And they went after them. So the people in construction, they saw the glory of God and they converted and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's just copy-paste. But it's not so easy in our busy lives to be available for the service in Jesus. Because we fill our agendas to earn money, to have a big house, to go on holidays 3 times a year. Are you self-centered or when you're focused on Jesus and show his glory? Is your kindness familiar for the people? The way you treat your family? The way you give your life for your husband, for your wife? The way you appreciate your children? The way you support your leaders. Always join the congregation. Come with faith. And act like this. Be faithful in your service to God, because that's what your family need. That's what the people in the church need. We have to support each other. I studied about development. It was an atheist development worker. He did not believe, but he saw the effect of the missionary workers in Africa. And he told, we need more missionary work. He himself did not believe in God, but he saw the effect of the way it influenced everywhere they come. Everywhere there is missionary work, people, they start to treat each other in a different way. They become honest, they become reliable. And his testimony was that we need more of this gospel because it changes people. That's the glory of God. Our countries are so prosper because we learned from the lessons from Jesus. So we have a rule in our church. You're not supposed to talk to people after the sermon for at least 5 minutes who you already know. You have to talk to people who are new. Someone came to live in our city from the north of Holland, from Friesland, and she was left alone. And she decided, I will commit suicide this weekend. I will give God one chance. I look at Google, and we just changed our website. And she found and they found my church. And she told in prayer, well, I give it one shot. I will go there. And she visited the sermon. She did not convert. But she was new in our church. And all the youth of our church, they surrounded her. They came to her. They were very open. She felt welcome. She felt like she was being seen. And it is the love of God that we were able to show her that God saw her that morning. Of course, we pray for conversion. We pray. We preach about hell. We pray about sin. The love of God is visible. And instead of her committing suicide, she found life again. That's the glory of God. That's the power of God. It's in everything God says. It says, the Bible says, reach out for the gifts of the Holy Spirit when you're thirsty. Cry out for the power, the Spirit of the Lord. Boil over by desire. You have to long for the gifts of the Spirit. I will reach out for the gift of healing. And I long that our church will be fulfilled with Holy Spirit, and people who will visit our church, they will be touched. There was a girl who was in a situation of violence. Her father wanted to kill her as a baby many times. She was abused. She could not live in a normal way anymore because she never learned. She became a prostitute. She slept with many men. She started to drink to forget everything. And she was invited by someone who just converted. And he was the grandchild of one of the high priests in the Satan Church. I'm not making this up. It's a reality. And he converted, and he started to believe, and he took his girlfriend. And after the sermon, there was a just converted guy who was a guy who converted because he was literally fulfilled with the Holy Spirit just by visiting the church. And he was surprised by the way God touched him. And he started speaking in tongues. He did not understand what he was doing. It's the Holy Spirit working through him. And he just converted. He takes a step toward that girl. And he says, what's going on? And he says, can I pray for you? And he was praying. And he says, God, give her a new stomach. The next day, she had an appointment at the internist for a new stomach. And he looked at the picture and says, this cannot be right. What happened? He says, you're not having the same stomach anymore. So she converted, she was baptized. It's the spirit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is available. Another woman came, 50 years old, who had a tumor inside her head, and we started praying for her. And God, but she said, stop. You will be singing at my funeral. You will be speaking at my funeral. You do not have to pray for my healing anymore. And it happened as God told her. She did not heal. But she was happy. She asked the people she had problems with. She did ask for forgiveness. God revealed himself to her. But she rejoiced. I know that the glory of God is visible. I don't know how everything works, but I know that the presence of God is working. It's His glory. There's nothing impossible. And that's why your flesh he does not want to act like this. And the Bible is very clear about the way you should live and what sin is about. And your flesh tells you, well, that's not for you. You do not have to participate. There are many reasons, excuses why you should not act like it. You have to convert. There are 30,000 people living in Dronten. People want you to believe that Dronten is hard soil, that the gospel of God will not carry fruit here in Dronten. But I tell you that everywhere the glory of God appears, there will be conversion. The church will grow. we have to die. Our flesh has to die, and Jesus Christ has to live through us. Just like in the psalm, it says, "Oh, that's a cry that we have to. We are thirsty. We are hungry for the Word of God. That God will have to. That we can be the disciple He wants us to be, no matter what people think of us. I need correction. I need the Word of God. Make me disciple. Make us disciples." There has to be more Jesus inside of me. And you will rejoice and be trustworthy. Maybe you have to change the way you live, the way you use your money, the way you treat other people. You have to understand it, the way God uses us. And I'm not looking for more. But I have to tell the Lord every day again, I am available no matter what you ask from me. He asks everything from us. We have to die from our flesh to be available. I want to finish. We come to the end of this sermon. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we stand before you in eternity. There's nothing is more precious than eternity, than knowing you. Did we do your will? Did we obey? And all the people, billions of people in hell, through Jesus, we hear their voice. Can you send someone to show the glory? Lord, we cannot do it ourselves, but you can do it through us. Well, just like Peter, we say, we start fishing again. But you tell us that we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will testify if the power of the Holy Spirit comes over us. We do not know whether we want this. We want to want this. Come with your Holy Spirit over our lives. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, please stand up. Be fulfilled. Do not get drunk of wine, but be fulfilled of the Holy Spirit. We sing, fill your house with this glory. It's the prayer of your heart. I tell you in the name of Jesus, not because I'm prophetic, because when you listen to the word, it's logical in the word of God. If we just put in practice the word of God, we start to do what the word says, to be a disciple, then I will tell you, this building will be too small. It will not fit in. You will need the politicians to give your permits for a bigger building. And Lord, we cry out for your glory, for eternity, for all people who are at the edge that the church has neglected for so long. Pray for the heart of people who have a heart of stone. You find your way. You find an entrance. The devil tells you are not coming in, but you have the key to the hearts of people. For all the Americans, Turkish people, Somalians, Pakistan people, all the people from the PVDA, from the Christian Union, from the Lord, for all the people of society, the influencers, the people who are depressed at home. You can reach everyone. And Lord, we, the youth, the Gen Z is looking for fulfillment of their lives. Come, O Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father. You can reach everyone. But here we are. Here we are. Help us to die from ourselves. Fill this house with your glory. Fill dit huis met uw glorie. Vul dit huis met uw aanwezigheid. Want alles is door u. En alles is tot u. Openbaar aan uw heerlijkheid. Jezus met uw glorie. So Lord, come to us in all the way we behave, the way we use our money, the way we treat each other, the way we look at each other, the way I treat your husband or wife, in everything. Your name is holy, Jesus Christ. Name is holy. Jesus, you are King. Oh, give joy. Honor His holy name. Please fulfill His house with your glory. Fill my heart with your glory for every day. For everything. Hallelujah. Show us your glory. Holy. Oh, like Paul, we cry out, show us your glory. Show us who you are. The devil will tell you are too small. The devil will tell you why we need only 2 bread, 5 bread and 2 fish. It's not enough. But Jesus tells you, just give me your lunch, give me your staff, and I will multiply it. A story. We had a sister in our church in Deventer, in a scootmobile, and she thought, well, I cannot sing, I cannot preach, I have problems, I have money problems, I'm alone, I'm old. And 12 years ago, the church was very small. She had a neighbor from Turkish, 7-8 years old, and she thought, well, I can do one thing. I asked her to visit, and I took her to church, And after a few weeks, a few months, she was placed somewhere else because their parents got divorced. She never saw the little girl ever again. But about 2-3 years ago, we were planting a church in Raalte. It was during Corona, living in Hardenberg. And he wanted to go to Deventer, and she was living in Drenthe. But can my girlfriend also come? And the girlfriend did not believe. He was worried about his son, and he took her to Deventer. And the girl told him, "Well, when I was a little girl, I used to live here. I had a neighbor, and she took me to the church, but it was a long time ago. It will probably not be the same church." But she came in the church, and it was the same church. She was shining, and she saw a manger in her scootmobile, her neighbor. She didn't recognize her. And the girl, "No, God loves me." It just came over her. And also the people where she lived, the foster parents, they wanted to know the Lord. You do not know the way God can use you. You have to be available. Sometimes it can be very small. It means nothing maybe in your eyes. But if the devil tells you, "Well, you're not worthy, what is it you have to offer?" Stop listening to him. At a moment in our life, there was a moment we wanted to stop with our church. And there was someone in church. God told him to prepare a meal and go to them. So they came to us, and he told them, "Well, you have to prepare a meal of encouragement. They do not have to stop." And he did. He listened to what the Lord told him. Just start listening. It can be just the small things. It will be of value for eternity, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.